conquerors. Yet now we're feeling about you, the pride and joy and fear. When natural conquerors build down.
Coming up on episode 20 of Zero Doinks. The weather is cold outside, but the Bears are white hot as they visit Lambeau this upcoming weekend. Following a big win over the Cowboys, 3-game winning streak, the Bears are alive for the number 6 spot in the playoffs. The boys talk about that and maybe a little bit of info about where they're going to watch the game this Sunday. Oh man, I'm at midnight right now. We will also talk about the Big Ten Minute. Where did the Gophers and the Illini end up in bowl week? We'll talk all about that. A little bit of gray balls. Review Cowboys. Preview Packers. Maybe see me after class. Yep, that's going to happen. Coming up, episode 20, Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Oh, welcome to episode 20, Zero Doinks. Bill and Dan here. Thank you so much for listening. I hope all of you enjoyed this episode. We are so pumped as the Bears visit the Packers this week. It's Packers week times two. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, I want to know all about Dan Doink's experience in Soldier Field for the huge win that the Bears had against the Cowboys last Thursday. Dan, welcome to episode 20. First of all, can you believe that we've lasted this long? Second of all, tell me all of the deets from an incredible Thursday night.
Yeah, no, I can't believe we're on 20. Holy shit. Anyone still listening to this? Whoop, already swore. No, I'm not going to do that again. That got real annoying last episode. Yeah, it feels like the Cowboys game was 3 weeks ago at this point. I mean, it feels so long ago. I had an incredible time pregame. In-game, there you go. And a little bit post-game as well. I was lucky enough to get a ride from Rick Fieldsman down to the game. How about that? You think he had an actual car?
No. Was it a tow truck? And how did he hold on to the wheel without any thumbs?
He had some type of device hooked to his stubby hands. It was like a hook, like you'd see like Captain Hook, but it was a metal hook just in place of a thumb. It was very awkward. It would get jammed in the steering wheel, which made it a very adventurous ride. But here's a fun fact. He drives a Toyota Mountaineer. Nope. I don't know. Some type of Toyota SUV. And the cloth on top of the ceiling was hanging down the entire ride, just rubbing that bald spot on my head the entire way. I think it created a little more friction, so I lost a little bit more hair. So thank you, Rick, for not fixing that. That was the least shocking news when I got into the Toyota. I don't know. I'm not a big car guy. So
same.
It was like... It was what you would expect from a Fieldsman. I think it had a tape deck in it. Anyway, but Rick was nice enough to pick me up very early. We made it down to Kroll's in the South Loop. It was not even very crowded, so that gives you an indication of how early we were there. I met some nice Cowboy fans that Rick knows somehow. Also loyal Zero Doinks listeners, which was also a treat. Over this weekend, Thursday and Saturday, I met random Zero Doinks peeps that I have never met in my life, but they're loyal listeners. Thank you for listening.
I love it. Did you sign any autographs? Did anybody have any specific grievances that they brought to you about anything that either of us said or did over the past 19 plus episodes?
I signed a lot of boobs. That's it. No complaints. And if you have them, I'm not listening to them. So shove them up your ass. No, thank you for listening. Don't please DM us your complaints. We'll get better.
That's right. Yes, we will. Did you have a Sharpie on you when you were signing the boobs? I want to know the mechanics.
Yeah, that's right. I keep a Sharpie on me at all times, an orange one, because I'm a Bears fan. So Yeah, so Kroll's pregame, I went to the game with Rory Doinks. I was pretty lathered up before we walked into Soldier Field. The crowd was pretty good. It was a lot of Cowboys fans, as expected. But we just kept the party rolling during the game. There was the fucking game was great. The Miller Lights and Hams were sliding down real easy. Did not have beggars this time around, though. I hate to fess up on that one. But I did. Rory and I both each had the Buffalo Chicken Stacks. Are you familiar?
No. How were those?
Oh, I mean, he and I have texted about it no less than five times since last Thursday. So it was erotic.
Did Rory mention that he wanted to slide down to Robinson's Ribs and whatnot to
yes.
try to get a lucky rib sandwich? Was it yeah. considered? Did you guys think about it?
We did. Well, it was discussed, but mostly in a joking manner because he was on that incredible streak. I think it was mentioned on the episode he was on, but I think we'd have to venture far away from our seats to slap down one of those mediocre rib sandwiches. So we opted not to, just roll the dice, and looks like the rib sandwiches weren't the only good luck for Rory because I feel like he's never seen a loss. Is that accurate? I can't remember if he told me that or
that
not.
Might
I feel
be
like
accurate.
He's undefeated.
Yeah, he's on fire. So, yeah, and we'll talk about his potential inclusion on where we're going to watch the Bears-Packers game. Spoiler alert! All right, so how was the crowd overall besides the Cowboys fans that you met and you and Rory Doinks? What was the vibe in the stadium both going into the game and during the game and all that jazz?
Yeah, very similar to the Giants game. I feel like everyone's expectations are pretty low, so everyone was pretty chill and mellow. No one's getting worked up. Even when Mitch threw that, I mean, we'll get to it, I'm sure. When Mitch threw that interception, I feel like people were like, eh, yeah, whatever, no big deal. So it's kind of a fun way to go into the game, and the crowd's just, you know, just kind of there for fun. So going back, I know I was thinking today about the opening night against the Packers, and it felt like everyone was so stressed out, like from kickoff all the way through, that's gone. I'm sure it's going to be back now that we're all talking ourselves back into the Bears making the playoffs. But the crowd overall was pretty mellow, but there was, I mean, that was the best home game to be at this year for sure. So, the crowd was pretty upbeat. I didn't see any riffraff of random fight. I did see a video of Bears fans beating up. Did you see that in the?
I did. I saw it too.
The ramp.
On the ramp. That looked explosive, and people were like commenting, like, not a huge deal. It looked like a huge deal to me.
It did. And did you see who commented on it? Was Clinton Dix.
Oh yeah,
He like quote tweeted it, and he's like, "We always fighting" or something like that. I don't know. I probably didn't quote that right, but.
He's been incredible on social media. I don't know if you did. You see what he said with to a Packers fan this week too?
No.
Oh yeah, He commented on something that Aaron Rodgers put out there, where Rodgers like, "Ask me anything on Reddit or no, whatever the hell it was," and haha said something like, "Well, tell me your 15 plays for this upcoming Sunday." And some Packers fan chirped back, and haha went after the way his face looked and his wife's face.
Yes,
it was incredible.
Oh my God, I totally missed that. No, that's fantastic. I love that guy. Stay around forever. Haha. But no, good vibes at the game. Good vibes post game. Rory and I wrapped up our evening at Au Cheval for a delicious burger, which made no sense, but I got a quick beef.
Yeah,
we tried to go to Flo and Santos in the South Loop immediately after the game. Went to the doors. I think they just have one door, and they said, "Yeah, we already did last call." Immediately after the game, I love Flo and Santos. Give me that. I think it's the Marco Pizza, the Italian beef. With Jardinier pizza. We talked about it at Kroll's and during the game, so I was very disappointed that didn't come through. Love your pierogies, but, you know, have some real fucking hours.
Seriously, what, it was probably like 10:45 or so?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, adjust it to the Bears home game on a Thursday night, you dumbasses.
You stupid nerds. But yeah, great game, Bill. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. It is my pleasure to ask. And this has been one hell of a year. So that is your last Bears home game that you attended. So that must have been a little bit sad, but that's okay. Yep. Until the playoffs, until we're going to host a playoff game somehow as a sixth seed. I don't know how that's going to work. But I did have an additional question that I'm now forgetting. Good thing this isn't live. Anywho, so what was the vibe after the game? That was my question. What was were people thinking, holy shit? Like, did it ever feel like the Bears were in jeopardy of losing that game once the Bears started scoring?
Nope.
Or not really?
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so all right. So the game starts, of course, with the Cowboys. What felt like they were, that first drive was about 45 minutes long.
I mean, yeah,
that was an amazing drive and ends with a score. And at that time it was kind of like, oh boy, this could be a long, long night. We get the ball back, obviously, and Mitch throws a pretty terrible interception. But I think maybe you and I discussed this. I'm cool with him throwing those types of interceptions, like being aggressive like that. Like, and it's, you know, we got kind of nothing to lose at this point. So you make throws like that. No, it never felt like the game was in jeopardy. The Bears controlled the game, offense, defense, and Cowboys stink. If they win that division, they should let the Bears and win the NFC East. I think
I'm in.
I mean, that is such a soggy division. There, I would love to see them go in at like 7-9, and then get who would they play? I don't know. Play the Bears? That wouldn't add up.
Seahawks or 49ers, probably Seahawks, yeah. Right? Probably.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that could be. I don't know. Seahawks look pretty bad now too, but no. Overall, it didn't. It was a fun game. It felt like the Bears. It felt like last year's Bears team where we were moving the ball. The defense looked good. Mac looked awesome. I didn't actually watch the game back, so I mean, I didn't see Roquan's injury. That's a bummer. And maybe that was, I mean, I think I said this to you. I think having like a torn pec has to be the coolest injury you could have. What do you think?
No, you did say it to me and I could not relate because I've never had pecs. So yes, I totally agree. Yeah. That injury, the coolest thing about that particular injury with Roquan was that he knew that there was trouble like four plays before the drive ended, according to, I think it was either according to Haha or Eddie Jackson.
It was Eddie Jackson. Yeah.
And he refused to take himself out of the game. He was going to deal with it after the drive was over. I mean, that is awesome. Roquan.
Unbelievable.
Kudos. Yeah.
What a badass. I mean, especially, that's a cool way to go out after his like up and down year as well. That's a bummer, but the Frenchman came in behind him and also played awesome, right?
Yeah, Kevin Pierre-Louis, we talked about him in the preseason. Yeah, he was incredible. According to our America's favorite Pro Football Focus, he was the number one defender for the Bears. That's how he graded out. Those guys are a bunch of assholes, so that means he probably had a horrible game. So, but you know, the eye test, if you will, he definitely looked good. He did. He was great. It sucks that he's going to have to start the rest of the year unless somehow Trevathan comes back. There were murmurs of that early this week since he's not on IR, but I feel like he only has one arm right now, so it's hard to say. I wouldn't count on that, Bears fans. But it was awesome. So what was the any vibe about Mitch's game when you were watching in the flesh out, like after his interception? At least you and Rory Doinks did, or anybody, what was the vibe about Mitch's game?
Yeah, just it felt weird. It was just like, who is this guy? I mean, he's who we want him to be all year. I mean, running the ball, that run he had, super sexy, that touchdown run. That was very much like the game you and I were at last year, the Patriots, when he's running left, running left, running right, running right. I don't know why he'd run left. I don't know. That's probably what he does in his head. I'm running left. I'm running left. Oh, I'm running right. I'm running right. Should I throw? Where's coach? I'm going to look at him. No, he was awesome. I looked it up today. It's 63 yards rushing, which is awesome. He should be over 50 every game. And I don't know.
No, I'm with you. It was awesome to watch on TV. I felt like a proud papa watching him. It's like almost been seeing him, like witnessing him coming out of his haze. Like, I don't know what the hell the problem has been. I don't even care at this point. Doesn't really matter. That shit's over. But it's like, so hopefully he brings it, at Green Bay. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But so how are you feeling overall? Now the Bears are above 500. They obviously need some help. They need to win out most likely and get some help. How are you feeling as a Bears fan, just in general? Like, best case, they somehow sneak into the playoffs. Worst case, they don't, but maybe have some momentum. I don't know if I believe in off-season momentum, but how do you feel? Where's your head at, Dan?
I personally feel like the playoffs are still a huge stretch. They didn't get any help this weekend with the Vikings winning, the Rams even winning. So I still feel like that's a total long shot, but it still feels like kind of what I mentioned during the game. It's like a no pressure situation. You know, we just hope it seems like they're figuring things out, as they go here, as we were hoping they would. Just, it's too little too late. So I'm more of the mindset that hopefully Mitch has turned a corner. I'm still not confident of that. I need to see it from here on out. It's like every game would be awesome to win. This weekend would obviously be huge to win in Green Bay. Getting Hicks back, I'm curious to see if that actually flips the switch again and we just get a billion sacks, get a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Every game should be fun or it could be a disaster. But in my eyes, it's just we're kind of the team maybe you don't want to play if you have a playoff spot. You know, even the Vikings last week, I feel like they're going to be shitting their pants even if we have nothing to play for, if they're still in the hunt for maybe seeding or something along those lines, because we fucking own the Vikings. So, it's the same. Like, I'm kind of reserved to the thought that they're not going to make the playoffs, but I'm loving what I'm seeing now, especially for Mitch. So, what I keep going back to is I'm super pissed about the Chargers game. Of all the games, that's the one that's sticking out to me, is like, that's when we fucking blew it. You know, I look at the Raiders game, like, we probably should have won that, but we probably should have lost the Denver game. So I sort of cancel those two out. Those could have gone either way. But the Chargers game, that was a total choke job, and that's what's going to kill us at the end. So I don't know. How are you feeling? Where are you at?
I've been thinking about that Chargers game too, because hi, I'm a dork, and I do have huge regrets about that loss. If in fact they fall short, that is definitely the game to circle. You're right. You diagnosed that perfectly, Dr. Dan Doinks. I bought in hard and set my heart wide open, ready to be crushed a few weeks ago once they actually started winning again. So, odds, of course, are way not in their favor. I think we can all intellectually acknowledge that. But the fact that they're playing relevant football in December for the second straight year is awesome. That's huge progress for this franchise, which is sad but true. They have turned a corner. I mean, there's no getting around it. And I'm excited. I've got my Bear buzz back for sure. I feel like a lot of people have. I've been talking to a lot of people, or hearing from a lot of people who I've not talked Bears about in probably 6 weeks, and they started getting excited going into last Thursday. Now they're fucking jazzed. Like, everybody is believing, even though the odds are what, 6% to like 3 to 6%, I guess, depending who you believe, with the Bears needing help plus wins. But you know what? It's better than zero. We're not the fucking Lions. So I'm loving it. I'm loving seeing Mitch clearly being the guy at this point anyway, going into next year as the number one to beat out. We were not thinking that a few weeks ago.
Right.
That's big. So it's great. Can't wait to talk Packers week with you in the next segment. Are we ready to transition to that, buddy?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we are. Do we have a special announcement, maybe?
We do. We're going to the fucking game, aren't we, Dan?
Oh, baby. Oh, baby, we're crazy, but we're doing it. But hey, we're playing with house money at this point. There's pressure's off. Let's go and win ourselves a game, but we will be there.
In the flesh, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Lambeau Field, Zero Doinks road trip. Man, we're doing it for you, fans. We are. But now we're doing it for ourselves.
And yeah, pretty much.
Man, just have a great time. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. We're going to talk more about it next segment. See you next segment. Zerdikes.
Bears.
Welcome back, Zero Doinks, episode 20. Follow us at Zero Doinks on Instagram and Twitter. Slide into our DMs. We want to talk to you. We want to hear from you. We love all of our fans. Thank you for sticking with us. If you're brand new to the show, you're welcome. Thank you. And we apologize. Dan, we broke some news at the end of the last segment. We are going to Green Bay, Wisconsin. You, me, Brother Dave, as heard early in the repertoire of Zero Doinks, and maybe Rory Doinks or somebody else to be determined. We're looking for a fourth. Slide into our DMs if you want to win those tickets. It's probably not a great idea. anywho, Bears Packers this week, we want to know all about the Bears and the Packers history. Maybe if you've done homework, we want to know about the Packers coaching staff, whatever. Let's kick it to you. Take it over, buddy.
All right. Yeah. I'm so pumped to go Sunday. This will be my first time to Lambeau. You and Brother Dave, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, Dave worked for the Packers for a short stint, which I appreciate Brother Dave saying when I saw him Saturday night that he was going to look for a hookup for someone he knows that still works the team, but he hasn't spoken to him in 13 years. Like, please BCC me onto that email because I will get a huge chuckle out of it because there's no way that I will respond to anything besides, oh, why don't you fuck off? But how many times have you been there? I've been there one time.
I've been there twice, once for a game, once just randomly with my relatives in Wisconsin. So I've been on the site two times. But yeah, one time to a game, Bears, Packers, Lovey's first game in Lambeau. We won. Urlacher and Mike Brown had an awesome game. And the fans were very nice. Honestly, I still hold on to that when I hate the Packers so much. And the fans are annoying. I'm sure they feel the same way about Bears fans. But my experience game day was more positive than I ever would have guessed in a million years. So hopefully we'll have the same reception, warm reception. I'm sure all of them have heard of Zero Doinks. So I'm sure, you know, we're going to get free beers all morning.
Slap them in our mouth. That Lovey no game, chance. I was out with Kyle Doinks. I was out with him and we got super drunk. So I remember that night well, and I came home at like 4 a.m. on Monday morning. So that was fun. So thank you, Bill. Thank you, Lovey. Thank you, Illini. All right. So this is a real loose Packer review. I couldn't remember if I did the coaches last time around. So I couldn't even find my notes, and God forbid I actually go back and listen to it. I don't think I did. We were still riding high on our own asses about how good the Bears were going to be. And then game one is kind of when it started to fall apart. So I have a few random facts here. Packers are 48-42-4 against the Bears all time in Green Bay. So those four ties had to be real boring. Do you remember ties in the NFL?
No.
I mean, I guess technically you'd still do it, but those
pretty rare.
Yeah. That should never happen. The Bears, like, I don't remember the Bears having a tie in my lifetime. I'm sure it's happened, but yeah. Maybe I'll catch up on that on the next segment. No, definitely not the next segment. Next episode. Jesus Christ. Too many whams so far tonight. That was a callback. Okay, so since 2008, we have only won twice at Green Bay. You mentioned, what year was that? No, that was before 2008. Never mind. So that's really all I need to cover for Bears, Packers. Obviously, we know what happened last time we played them. I was doing a little research on the city of Green Bay, just curious what was going on there, and then I'll do a little coach review after this. What do you think the population is of Green Bay? Just give me a real rough estimate.
All right, I'm going to guess 100,000.
Whoa, 104,000. Good
job.
Oh,
shit. Thank you.
They have a 40-year-old mayor. His name is Eric Genrich. He went to University of Wisconsin, barf, yeah, and then also went to UW-Milwaukee, but... I mean, he's right around our age, and he's running a, you know, a well-known town.
I'm a little surprised that the mayor is not Mark Chmura, to be honest with you.
Well, a lot of skeletons in that hot tub. on Wikipedia, it notes that Green Bay is known as the toilet paper capital of the world because of the prevalence of the paper industry in the city. I would agree that you need toilet paper because your town is shit.
That's right. Wipe front to back.
It also noted that Northern Paper Company offered the first splinter-free toilet paper in the early 1930s. Were they wiping their asses with wood?
Yeah,
what does that
like
even
bark?
Mean?
What is good? Like that had to only be Wisconsin, right? Must have been a Wisconsin thing.
Oh, yeah. Just a lot of splinters in your asshole and a lot of apologies from the Northern
Honey,
Paper Company.
I've got some cheese curds in my stool and my hands are bleeding from the toilet paper. Come here. Call the cops. That's
Jesus Christ. Call the cops. okay. Speaking of cops, it's only 40 minutes away from Manitowoc County in Wisconsin, which obviously is home to Making a Murderer. And I think we've previously mentioned this. At least we have it private. All I could think of watching that whole documentary is all these people are Packer fans.
Yep. Oh, totally. Oh, and the attorney. Oh, his sweaty uncle showed up. He was so sweaty. There's sweat DNA. Sweat, sweat, sweat. Ah, so gross. That guy is. Ugh.
What was his voice? Hey, do you want to go to an autopsy with me?
Yeah, wasn't he like sexting some former witness,
right,
or something, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's
was
right.
That,
that's
yeah,
right.
Disgusting.
Yeah, that's where I got in trouble. Okay, so I went down the Wikipedia page of notable Green Bay people from Green Bay. I'm going to tell you, it was a soggy list. That's not shocking, right? But one of them was Tony Bennett, the Virginia head coach. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Boring.
His dad was Wisconsin Green Bay, right? Originally, maybe. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
Old man Tony. He was Tony as well, right? Before he went to the Badgers. Okay.
Yep.
The only other notable that even I gave a shit about was John Anderson, the nerdy ESPN anchor. Know him?
Yeah. Nerdy. You're right.
I mean, yeah. Only thing to note, Wikipedia says he makes $2.5 million a year. Why would Wikipedia even have that?
That had to be edited by John Anderson, right?
Yeah. Or John Lithgow. Yeah, that was really fucking weird. $2.5 million. I was surprised. All right. That's all I got for
money.
It's all I have for the city of Green Bay. Can't wait to see your terrible town. Title Town. No, it's Terrible Town now. Okay, so I'll run quickly through a few coaches here. Matt LaFleur, we all know that douchebag. I'm still surprised he's doing as well as he is. That's just Aaron Rodgers, right? It feels like it's going to implode very quickly, and I'm here for it. I hope it happens Sunday. I think we're actually sitting on the Packers side. So,
oh, good. We can watch Matt LaFleur's tears roll down the back of his neck. That's how many tears he's going to have.
Okay, I got a question.
It wasn't
on that.
Great at anatomy. Not great.
Will it go up over the top of his head, the tears, or will they leak around his neck? What are we looking at here?
I think they wrap around like his headset, right? They get caught a little bit and drip down from his left eardrum. I don't know. Not great at science. Not a big research guy.
For some reason, I didn't like it when you said drip down. That felt weird.
Or did you like it too much and you're just trying to deny it?
Maybe. Okay. That sounds like something you'd say if you're from Manitowoc. Matt LaFleur, his brother coaches on the 49ers staff as like a pass game coordinator. Mike? I think it was Mike LaFleur. I don't know. Get out of you French bastards. Okay. The D coordinator. Yeah, D coordinator. Mike Pettine, right? Isn't he the D coordinator? Coached the Browns from 2014 to 2015. He was 10-22 as a head coach. So good job, Mike. You stink. Assistant offensive line coach. You want to guess who that is?
Luke Butkus, right?
You knew it. I know. Yep. Dickie's nephew. It was Dick Butkus' birthday yesterday, Monday, I think I saw. So good for him. Weird jump right from Illinois to the Packers. That's kind of weird. Right?
Yeah, he was offensive line coach at Illinois, and then I think Lovey kind of hated him. And being that I didn't hate it, so he was our starting center for the Rhein Fire when I was there, and he hated everybody there except for me because I was an Illini grad.
Yeah,
so he and I got along, but I thought, whoa, this guy would intimidate the fuck out of me if I was some random German in Gelsenkirchen. He was kind of a badass, but I couldn't tell if it was like fake badass or real badass.
Okay, is he a badass or an asshole or both?
I would think he was an asshole had he not liked me. I would have said asshole.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well. Really nobody of note else on the staff, so I'm glad I went through those really lame Green Bay stats there. Ted Thompson, I thought he was still the GM, but apparently he's not anymore. Do you know that? He's like a special advisor now.
Okay.
The new GM is Brian Gutkunst. Gutkunst? I don't know how to say it.
Gutkunst. How do you think what does that translate to in German, do you think?
Grape cunts. I think that adds up.
I think
But here's a fun fact about Brian Grape Cunts. His dad was the head coach of the Gophers from 85 to 1991. He took over for Lou Holtz when Lou Holtz went to Notre Dame. By all accounts on his Wikipedia page, he was terrible at Minnesota. So thank you, Grape Cunts Senior, for being shitty.
Sounds like he should be bad cunts, if you ask me.
I think that sounds right. That's all I got, man. I mean, that was a pretty lame effort. I mean, I was digging through Green Bay stuff, which just was, what am I doing with my life? To get something saucy, and nope, nothing. Lame town. Fuck you, Packers. We'll see you Sunday.
Seed in the flesh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. What's the line for Sunday? Yeah, here you go.
You got it. So the game opened at +7. I looked actually after the Bears game. It was before the Packers had even played. Bears opened up at +7. Even after the Packer game, it still was at +7, but it has since moved to +4.5. So Bears getting 4.5 points. Over under is 41. That has not changed. That feels a little low, but yeah, what do you like? Let's go with the 4.5 since that's where it's at right now.
Yeah, let's go 4.5.
Tuesday.
I not surprisingly am going to bang the fuck out of the Bears right there at 4.5. It feels right. Money line play. Absolute money line play. Do it. Pay off your mortgage.
We'll probably get to it, but if you played Bears money line last week with Gray Ball's money line, we may have an apology coming for you later on. I'm going to go ahead and take the Bears too. 4.5. Why not? Division game. You just can't give the red hot Bears that many points on the road. Rivalry game in Trash Town. On the year, you are 7-8, by the way, so you're right there. I am 9-5-1.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Don't fade the doinks.
No. I feel good about that. I would take the over as well. We're not doing that. Let's not officially do that.
No, we wouldn't officially.
I could barely,
do
I could barely keep track as it is. So, but I kind of love the over.
You know what? I actually love the under because final score is going to be 35-3 Bears. So that's just what's going to happen. So bang and hump that under from all orifices.
Yeah. So I'm pumped, Bill. I'm happy to be popping my Lambeau cherry sooner rather than later. I always said I want to go to Lambeau, but not during a Bears game. But this year feels right. My expectations are still pretty low for their playoff hopes. The only thing that'll kill me is if they lose like with a Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary right at the end. That's like the only way I think that I'll probably punch all of the cheese hats.
Yeah, that's fair. Hopefully that does not happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Bears are going to leave with us with a win. It's going to be incredible. Akeem Hicks comes back, like you mentioned earlier. It's going to be, that is a huge thing. He basically said this week that he respects Aaron Rodgers, but his job is to put Aaron Rodgers on his back all day. Yes. And he knows that he is. And he got me red hot when he said that. I mean, it was so awesome. So let's talk briefly about those small Bears playoff chances, right? So Bears, three games left, right? Let's just assume they have to beat the Packers, beat the Chiefs, and then beat the Vikings. What they also need as a reminder to our lovely audience, in case you forgot, we need Minnesota to lose one of the next two, either at the Chargers this Sunday. They play the semi game at 3:00 at the Chargers. So either they lose this Sunday with a Bears win, or they lose at home Monday night in week 16 against the Packers. And then we beat the Vikings week 17. So if that happened, and if the Rams lose 2 out of 3, then we are the 6th seed. The Rams are at Dallas, also a semi game this Sunday. And then the Rams are at the 49ers week 16 at home against the Chargers week 17. So the Rams are going to be dogs in two of those three games, actually, including the Cowboys. Vikings are going to be dogs in one of their last three, but we're going to kick their ass week 17. So
yes,
the hopes are slim, but if the Bears take care of business, you never know. The NFL is crazy. Keep winning, baby.
Hey, it's funny you mentioned that. I was looking up the lines and you said the Rams were dogs. They're actually 1 point favorite. They're favored by a point now.
That's come around. It started where?
It opened at Dallas -4, and now it's Rams -1, which is, that's crazy. I mean, the Cowboys stink, but that's obnoxious.
It is obnoxious. If the Cowboys haven't totally quit, then that's a stupid line. But I guess that's assuming a lot based off of last Thursday.
Yeah, and I feel like they have quit. So, but they're in their division leaders right now. So, I don't know why they would have. And the Vikings are only 2.5 point favorites in LA this week. So, you know, I don't know. I could see some weird Philip Rivers stuff against the Vikings. Speaking of which, we're off the subject. Did you see Philip Rivers' video of him talking shit?
No, I saw he was trending today on Twitter, but I didn't know why. I thought he either died or had another kid. I didn't know what happened.
At the same time, I could see him die. That's how he's going to go, having another child. One in, one out.
The circle of life.
See it on Disney Plus. His shit talking is exactly what you would expect. He's just like randomly shouting in a defensive end's ear, and he's just, I don't know, it seems like something you would expect from like a real Jesus-y fella. So sorry, I got off on a tangent there. We'll rein it back in. Bears playoffs. Make magic happen.
Take care of business, Bears. You know we're coming. I'm sure they already know. If they don't, we will be tweeting at their official handle the next few days just to let them know we will be present. Bears, we cannot wait to see you in the flesh in Green Bay. It's going to be awesome. If anybody else is going to the game, please slide into our DMs. Tell us where you're going to be, and maybe we will embrace
Let's go, baby. Bears, keep running for the number 6 seed. Let's go. See you next segment.
Brandon Dassey.
Walking around the Christmas tree. Happy holiday. I don't know the rest.
The Big 10 Minute.
Episode 20. Bill and myself are back, baby. Big 10 Minute. We found out where our teams are going this bowl season. My Gophers are going to the Outback Bowl to play the Auburn Tigers. I'm super fired up for it. This is perfect. This is a perfect launching pad for what's to come for Pajay Fleck. I think that's how you say it. Pajay Fleck. I don't even know what PJ stands for. I should probably know that. What do you think it stands for?
I think penis jumper.
I don't have it. I think you nailed it. Sorry, that put my brain into a pretzel. I think you got it. I've seen a lot of jokes on the internet about them playing in Tampa, where there's going to be a giant boat in the stadium and that PJ is going to find a way to row it. I think most of them are meant to be hurtful jokes. So let's keep that to a minimum, Twitter. You know, we're very excited in Gopher Land, Gopher Town, Gopherville. I don't know. I don't care. But I'm excited. A New Year's Day bowl game that actually matters, playing a good SEC team. But biggest thing of all, they're playing Thod's fucking team. So he and I can do a little shit talking and maybe have a wager between ourselves. I think we want to wait on actually making an official pick. I want to say the line opened up at Gophers plus 8. So I don't know what to make of it, but let's not make a pick just yet. So what do you got for your Illini?
Yes, the Illini are going to play on New Year's Eve in San Francisco in the Red Box Bowl against Cal Berkeley. It's going to be awesome. I am so excited, playing a Pac-12 squad. I saw a tweet today making fun of Cal because there's t-shirts being made for the Red Box Bowl, and it says, you know, it's one of those t-shirts with both helmets on it. And, you know, it says Illinois' helmet. It says Illinois versus, then it has Cal's helmet. And under Cal, it says Cal State. And it's great. Illinois versus Cal State, baby. I want one of those shirts so bad. It's awesome. I'm so excited that Illinois is in a bowl. Brandon and all of his Peters is on schedule to be fine after his second concussion of the year. Whoops. That's not great long term. Early line, and again, we're not going to make these picks yet, is Illinois plus 7, which makes sense since Cal Berkeley is right down the street, essentially. Not that I expect there to be a ton of Cal fans at the Red Box Bowl, but who knows? No. I don't know. Actually, I don't know how Cal draws, so I shouldn't even have an opinion. I'm making it up. But anyway, it's bowl season. Things are super hot. I can't wait. Oh my God. Give it to me. Postseason football. What is this? I don't know what to do with myself.
So is this, I'm sorry if you just mentioned this, is it at the Giants stadium? Because isn't that where it used to be?
I think so. It's at 49ers Stadium in 49. Santa Clara, technically. So not really San Francisco.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good bowl game. That's a good one to travel to if you have the means as an Illini fan. So let me get this straight. It's New Year's Eve. So December 30th.
Yes. Bingo.
You big time it. Calendar guy. I think next year's a leap year, by the way. 2020. You're welcome, calendar guy.
Happy 12th birthday to people that were born in, I don't know, I'm not a big math guy. I might be way off.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Completely way off.
No, that's a good, are you going to go? Are you going to go to the game?
I am not. I'm waiting on next year's Rose Bowl. I'm saving up.
Oh, that's awkward because I'm waiting on next year's Rose Bowl as well.
Oh,
so.
Shit.
Is there any way the Gophers and the Illini could play in
the play Rose against Bowl? Each other? Yeah, that'd be incredible. There should be. If they're interested in hot ratings and ticket sales, they would do it.
They would absolutely do it. A bunch of fat, pale Midwesterners just roaming around Pasadena.
You know, I did see something today where the Big Ten, you know, they change allegiances with bowls every few years, right? Big Ten is picking up the Las Vegas Bowl for next year. Whoa. And that is exactly where I want Illinois to be. I don't know what you need to do to get in that bowl, but I'm in.
Would that be in the new Raiders stadium?
Maybe. Yeah, it could be. Oh, buddy.
Oh. Okay, so you had a big week last week. We took the Ohio State game and the over-under. You hit both of them. So you're 8-8 on the year.
Parlay!
And I'm 8-7-1, so we're even, essentially. I got one stupid tie. Fresno State, I believe, Gophers, was that tie?
I just coughed.
Whoa, how are those lungs? Okay, so...
meaty.
All right, so we're not going to put a pick in for this week, but I got a game for you. You ready?
I'm in.
Michigan at Illinois tomorrow night, basketball. Illini are +1 at home. Who do you like?
Wow, this is really tough. Illinois was leading number 3 Maryland on the road for 39 plus minutes out of the 40 over the weekend, and they blew it at the end. I'm still a little bit depressed about it. So I think Illinois bounces back and they win. I'm taking Illinois +1. How about you? What say you, Fuzzy Gopher?
Well, Maryland lost tonight. I don't know if you saw that. They lost to Penn State tonight.
Yep.
So,
yep.
They got the job done, not your dumb Illini. Sorry, that was mean. I should say that I don't dislike Illini basketball as much as I do Illini football. I don't know why that is, but I don't shake me up too much. So you took the Illini +1
against what, number 5 Michigan? Let's clarify. It's not just any Michigan team; it's number 5.
I mean, this feels like a sucker bet of all sucker bets, but I'll take Michigan giving 1 to the Illini. I actually like the Illini, but just to fade your pick, I'm going to take the Wolverines. Why am I blanking on the coach? The old Fab Five guy.
Oh, Juwan Howard.
Juwan Howard. Jesus Christ. Come on, Dan.
It's, okay. It's all right, Dan.
He's doing pretty good.
It's good.
Oh, they just had a huge jump, right? Michigan.
They went like, yeah.
Yeah. They went from unranked to like number 5 or whatever.
They did.
Grow up, rankings people. You guys are racist.
They really shouldn't do basketball rankings till like mid-January. It's a waste of everybody's time, but that's all right. That's just my opinion, and probably Iowa Tim's opinion too. But who really gives a shit about Iowa basketball or Tim? Tim, you have an inverted penis.
Hey, speaking of Iowa basketball, I don't even have to look. I guarantee they have 5 white starters.
Oh,
what do you think?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched a little bit of their game at Michigan, and my eyes were bleeding. Everything was so bleach white on the floor on Iowa's side. It was horrifying.
Jess Settles is there for his 25th year.
Yes, big time. All right. Is anything else for the Big Ten Minute this week? We're good? All right.
We're good.
Thanks, Dan. We appreciate it. Looking forward to bowl season, which is starting very soon for all of the football teams. Things are going to be hot, and both the Gophers and Illini are involved. Can't wait to talk about the line in probably a couple weeks, and can't wait for the Illini to cover the Michigan Hoops game tomorrow night. This has been another rousing segment of Big Ten Minute. See you next segment.
Juwan Howard.
Wild, the snow. and says the balls are favored by 8.
Gray balls.
Gray balls.
Gray balls.
Gray balls.
Gray balls.
Gray balls.
Gray balls. Gray
balls. Gray balls. Run nuts.
Oh, another electric intro to Gray Balls this week. I wish our play was as electric as the song, but maybe not. So, Bill, why don't you give us a quick recap of what happened last week, and I'm going to go ahead and throw up.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Gray Balls are now 1-3 after a 37-25 loss to Creative DJs. Did you see any Creative DJs on that other team? Anybody you might assume would be hot with the music? No,
no, none of them DJs or creative in any way.
Yeah, I agree. Our only win this year is against the 0-4 Torn Achilles. We are playing this week Old Dirty Ballers. They are 3-1. Our schedule is about to get very difficult, and we are tied for 10th in the league, I want to say, at 1-3. Not great, but kind of where we want to be. So we are averaging 33 points a game. Not great also. Old Dirty Ballers are averaging 79 points per game. Oops. In their four. Wow. So Vegas just saw the line. We are plus 29.5 going into Wednesday night. Which way would you go, Dan?
I say the line again. I'm sorry.
29.5 plus 29.5 Gray Balls. Yeah, that's well, what do you think?
I think I'm obligated to take the Gray Balls, but that doesn't feel right at all. I've seen this old dirty bastards. What are they called? What are they? Old dirty ballers.
Balls.
Old dirty
ballers. Yeah.
I think I would be one of the shortest people on their team, and I'm not a very short man. So I'm, you know what? Fred scheduling the game 9:00. Get the fuck out of here. Feels like we've had a lot of late games. Like, I'm an old man. Well, it's a 35 and older league, so I'm not going to get any sympathy there, but I don't want to show up at 9:00 and get our ass kicked by old dirty bitches or whatever they're called. So I'm going to take the Gray Balls, though. Why not? Let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun. No, I definitely like us. I'm pounding us. I did not see an over-under line, which is probably for the best. I think, so we talked a few strategic changes when we were at Walnuts after last week's loss. It sounds like we're going to go even more three heavy from outside the arc, which is great because we're shooting 2% from three, including myself. I think I'm firmly at or around that 2%. I think we're going to slow the ball down a bit, a little four corners, a little Dean Smith, four corners, North Carolina offense back in the day. Right. Yep. Yeah, I think these are the right moves. How about you, Dan?
I think we get up as many shots as early and as often as possible. So as much as I like slowing it down, I think we just run and gun, even though we can't fast break, but just hoist up a three. You got the ball across in half court. Just fire it up. Why not?
Just put it up. Who cares? Put it up.
Who cares? But
yeah, Rick Fieldsman wanted to throw in a couple of trick plays. So I'm curious to see what he draws up on the sideline for trick basketball plays.
Like the flying V. What possible trick plays could we run with a bunch of old ass dudes?
It's going to be great. I think the MVP from last week, I would say, is Black Lightning, right, Paul? He was awesome. He had some sweet moves toward the hoop. He looked great. He looked fresh. His knees looked very healthy. So that's my MVP. I don't know if you have an opinion, Dan.
Yep, I do. I think I was 0-4-8 at least. I could be generous in my direction on that. I did not make a field goal. I had a couple cheap points on fouls. I'm still upset about that. But yeah, Paul, he carried us and was entertaining us as well. And I want to say, give an apology to the children of Gray Balls, because I had a lot of very foul language in front of you. And please don't tell your mothers, because I'd like to actually stay on this team. So thank you, because I'm sure all those children listen to Zero Doinks.
Yeah, if they do, they've heard much worse. That is for sure. Maybe a hard C that has gone down.
Oh,
multiple
man,
episodes.
Been a few hard C's, yeah.
It's true. The refs did not do us any favors during our 12-point loss to Creative DJs last week. I think we had 25-plus team fouls, and they had 5? Is that accurate?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
So everything's rigged against us is kind of my point here.
Yeah, I think that's the only reason we lost.
Yeah, it is.
It has nothing to do with us shooting under 10% from three-point land, but
no
definitely chance. The officiating.
Yep. The bottom line, though, is the Hams tasted amazing at Walnuts. We are also inching ever closer to getting a sponsorship with which we would say the actual real bar's name. It's not happening yet, though. They kept the Hams cold and plentiful. That's the highlight from last Wednesday. Hopefully things continue the rest of the year. Dan, any parting words for Gray Balls?
No, but I want to, somewhat unrelated, I saw Andrew WK's doing a New Year's Eve show coming up in the area. Maybe completely unrelated, but
yeah,
maybe Gray Balls takes as a team building trip to see Andrew WK in person.
Yeah,
somewhere in the Chicagoland area.
In Chicago, yeah. On New Year's Eve, actual New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I did see that too, and I thought, that confirms something that might be completely unrelated to Gray Balls.
He lives in the western suburbs.
That's the assumption. Andrew, join us at Walnuts. You may or may not know our full schedule. We're open to it, but the rosters have been cut off by Fred.
He could come this week and I think slide in, right?
He could. And
you know what? I said this over the text chain. If they're checking IDs to double check who's on the roster and who's not, they are not concerned with Gray Balls. They don't give a shit who we run out there, because if we pull out someone who's a ringer, they're going to stick out immediately on fucking Gray Balls. So that email that went out was for old dirty bastards or whatever the fuck they're called, and teams that are actually going to win it all.
Yeah, well, no, we're going to win the consolation championship, so I think Fred is going to have both of his eyeballs firmly on our roster. Things are going to get hot this week. We're going to start shooting the second we cross the half-court line. Davey No Behavey, you're listening. You're going to be shooting, and you're going to be making. We are going to upset old dirty Dingleberries tomorrow night live in the western suburbs of Chicago. This has been Gray Balls. See you next time.
Andrew WK.
Last Christmas, I gave my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, summer tear, I gave it to someone special.
It's See Me After Class.
This week's spotlight shines on Mike Mulligan. A staple.
Yes.
See Me After Class. My friends don't even know who you are. See me after class.
This is See Me After Class.
I won't, David. I won't. Shit-stirring troll, a passive-aggressive tweeter, and just a complete weird. See me after class.
Oh, baby. We're at my favorite part every week when it's red hot off the presses, podcast presses. America's been waiting for it. Green Bay has been waiting for it. Chicago's been waiting for it. Andrew WK has been waiting for it. This is See Me After Class. Smack me in the face, Bill. Go ahead.
I'm going to try, Dan. Thank you so much for yet another warm welcome into your trust tree. I absolutely appreciate it. Today's spotlight comes back locally for the first time in a while. And it shines on Lawrence, Don't Call Me Larry, Holmes.
Oh,
Lawrence has been a member Yes, you have. I'm excited for you here, Dan. I really am. Yes. All right. Lawrence has been a member of the Score 670 since working with Les Grobstein in 1998, and he's hosted a handful of shows over the years, mostly during late night hours. In March of 2019, Holmes was promoted to early afternoons with a 12 to 2 p.m. show that allowed him to no longer be preempted by exciting Notre Dame basketball. Now, I want to be clear here. Lawrence doesn't seem like a bad guy at all. He seems smart, and he's clearly busted his ass for many years to rise the ranks in a largely white and fat industry. And there's a lot to be said for that. However, he is in the smack crosshairs today because there is no excuse to be as show-offy and self-fellatio-y as he tends to be. Now, if you've ever listened to Lawrence, and I mean really listened to Lawrence, you would hear what I hear, which is someone who probably keeps a mirror on his ceiling so he can watch himself badger the witness while watching anime of nude puppets. Here's an example. On December 5th of this year, 2019, the year of our Lord, Lawrence had Chicago Sun-Times Bears beat reporter Jason Laser, haven't really heard of him, on as a guest. Holmes was describing his home office to Jason, and he told him that that's where he has his diplomas hanging up, as well as newspaper articles about himself and his own bobblehead. Now, it's probably not terribly uncommon to have your diplomas in your home office, I guess. But then Lawrence told Jason that Jason could call him Professor Holmes, and he was only half joking, as it offered Lawrence an excuse to talk about he's a professor adjunct at DePaul, where he teaches broadcasting, and I assume he also teaches how to ignore pronouncing the letter H. Lawrence says, human and huge a lot. Come on, Larry. It's a ham sandwich, not an am sandwich, you self-aggrandizing Comic-Con-licking bastard. If, like me, you've spent any time trolling Lawrence's Twitter handle, you've come to know that he recently got an online graduate degree from the University of Alabama. He gets a little touchy when you call it an online degree, so much so that he dedicated a full episode of LoHo Daily, one of his four podcasts, that seems excessive, to explaining why he is now a huge Alabama football fan. Let's take a dip into that podcast episode, which I transcribed some notes so you, our loyal Zero Doinks listener, don't have to. Now, these are all quotes. Just bear with me, and you'll understand where I'm going here and why I get irked with the tooting of his own wet horn. Quote, I studied the last 2 years studying. I spent the last 2 years studying at the University of Alabama, getting a master degree. I didn't just get an online degree. I actually spent a lot of time on campus. I'm still debating whether or not I'm going to invest in getting a PhD. The goal is to be Dr. Holmes before I'm 50. I didn't want to go to DePaul graduate school and take classes with my students, even though I could have taken those classes for free. It came down to Alabama versus Arizona State. When I was an undergrad at DePaul, there wasn't a football team, and I had my choices between places where there were football teams, like Illinois or Michigan or even Yale. I filled out my application for Alabama, and from that point on, they reached out to me. I feel like I was recruited. Maybe it's because I have 70,000 followers on Twitter and because I have a platform in Chicago, so they want me to be one of their alums. They invited me and said, you should come to orientation. I'm ripping a page and going to page two. I wanted to be part of their community. They went out of their way, and I don't know if it was just for me. They sent me a University of Alabama zip drive and a welcome letter from the president of the university. Alabama reached out, and it was simple little stuff like hearing from the department chair, Dr. Roberts. He's someone I adore. Okay, I have to stop here because I'm getting nauseous, and I'm sure you are too, Zero Doinks listeners, because this is disgusting. Now, I encourage you to look at Lawrence's Twitter feed from May of 2019.
Among almost 10 tweets talking about his graduation from Alabama, there is a picture of Lawrence with his arm around that aforementioned Dr. Christopher Roberts. In the Twitter post, Lawrence again notes how Alabama made a run at him as if he was a five-star running back, saying about Dr. Roberts, quote, "He saw my application 2 years ago and basically recruited me," unquote. Now, when you look at the picture on Lawrence's feed, and if you're honest with yourself like we all should be, you will conclude that the look on Dr. Roberts' face screams, "I have no idea who this strange person is and why his arm is around me. Get him out of here." I couldn't help but chuckle when I read Cleo McDowell's response on Twitter at Drewby314-28419 when he replied, quote, "You are very important, Lawrence. Did you graduate this weekend?" Unquote. God damn it. I love it, Cleo McDowell. I want to be friends with you so bad. All right. Now, look, Lawrence, I'm glad you get excited when you receive a form letter from an online college. I'm excited that you think that Alabama was recruiting you at all, much less that you could end up becoming a free marketing tool for them to get more alums, as you called them. By the way, Larry, it's called alumni, you PhD-humping bastard. It didn't surprise me that Holmes already has an alumni feature in the Bama by Distance online magazine. What a shocker there. In this article, Lawrence boasted of having almost 300,000 downloads for his House of L podcast in less than a year. Now, look, those are good numbers, but I hate to break it to you, Lawrence. Those numbers are not because people want to listen to you. It's because you were able to book entertaining guests such as Peanut Tillman, Tom Thayer, Pat Hughes, and others. But you know what, Lawrence? I'm happy that you now own a bunch of Alabama gear, and now you feel that you can mumble "roll damn tide" as if you're part of a football-obsessed community, since on the same podcast episode, you said, quote, "Your fandom has been compromised due to your job," unquote. Shut up, Lawrence. I'm glad that you found an outlet that jumping on the bandwagon of a team that has won 5 of the last 10 national championships, you can ride that bandwagon so hot and wet on Nick Saban's... Never mind. And I can almost imagine that your new Bama sweatshirts will match perfectly with all your Warriors hats and New England Patriots underpants. Your enthusiasm for your online graduate degree is infectious. In fact, Bama by Distance might have just received an inquiry from one Ron Doinks to see if his experience applying for the University of Alabama Journalism Graduate School would be the same as you received. I mean, who wouldn't want to jump on the opportunity to wrap their arms around Dr. Christopher Roberts in a Tuscaloosa fieldhouse? Lawrence, you're a hard worker, but you annoy me because you want to remind everyone how hard you work. You're accomplished in your role, but you annoy me because you love reminding everyone of such things as having your own agent. And Lawrence, you're smart, but you annoy me because you come across very braggy about your degrees and your professorial role at your undergrad alma mater. Look, Lawrence, your guests are good. You seem to be pretty solid at asking questions, and your show is one of the only places that I can find consistent White Sox talk on the AM dial. But just chill out, man, and you'd be a much better listen. If you relax the brag muscle, I might even listen to one of your 900 podcasts. But until that happens, Lawrence Holmes, see me after class!
My fandom of Alabama football, roll damn tide.
I have 3 quick questions for you, loyal Zero Doinks listener. Number 1, do you like listening to our show? Number 2, do you like to drink and eat? And number 3, how would you like to combine the first 2 while supporting Dan and Bill Doinks? Well, first, before the next Zero Doinks episode comes out, consider using something other than your current podcast app. Give Stitcher a shot. Go to stitcher.com/premium and enter promo code Doinks to get 1 month of free listening to many shows, including ours, plus premium shows such as The Fantasy Footballers. Secondly, since you just told me that you like to drink and eat, Why not have someone deliver your favorite snacks and booze from a Chicagoland store such as Binny's or Mariano's? With our partnership with Instacart, we can hook you up with 14 days of free delivery. Simply visit ZeroDoinks.com and click on the Instacart graphic located between our animated heads to start saving both money and time. Speaking of money, if you, our loyal listener, sign up with Stitcher and or Instacart, you will be not only improving your own life, but you'll also be ensuring that Dan and I can put some actual cash back into the production of Zero Doinks so the show can both continue to exist and thrive. Thank you, and we love you.
All right, let's wrap it up here, William Woinks. Beautiful smack. I hate Larry so much. And hey, here's a free tip. If you want to trigger Lawrence Holmes online, call him Larry and then accuse him of being thirsty at tweeting at good-looking ladies. That's another one. Those are free ones from me because I've had engagement with him that has been very negative and he hasn't enjoyed it. He hasn't blocked me, though, which I give him respect for. Okay, anyway. All right, Bill. First off, I want to say thank you to Hams. I don't have an ad this week, but I was hoping Hams would sponsor our trip to Green Bay, but that hasn't happened yet. But we'll wear our Hams gear maybe. So thank you for the gear. Thank you, Hams. I love you. You're beautiful. Okay, Bill, got a few questions for you. First off, do you know what a fib is?
Is it when you lie to somebody?
It normally is, but if you're in Wisconsin, if you're from Wisconsin, and I found this out when I was going to school in Minnesota, they said, oh, you're a fib. You're a fucking Illinois bastard. Have you never heard that?
No, never heard in my life.
Oh, that's a very common thing. They refer to Illinois people as fibs. Fucking Illinois bastard.
Okay. I think that seems weird.
Yeah, I think they're upset that we drive at an appropriate speed. We provide them with a lot of income because we're summering in Wisconsin. We're buying their beer and their stupid cheese curds. I'm sorry, I love the cheese curds. I'm a fat guy, so I'm sorry about that one. But yeah, surprised you'd never heard that. That's a very common thing.
Wow, no, I feel enlightened right now and a little bit angry because you know what? We are gracing your state on Sunday. If I get called a fib, I am going to be so angry. I'm not going to do anything about it. I'll probably just talk some shit about it. But that's interesting. Now, my ears are going to be ringing for fibs.
Yeah, you're a fib. And I'm proud to be a fib. Okay, the other one is... you know, they also call water fountains bubblers. You ever heard that one? They call it a bubbler. Ugh, grow up. A bubbler. What are we, fucking children? We're just catching bubbles with our mouth? I'm just thirsty. Just give me some goddamn water, you non-fibs. Okay, here's the last one I got. We're leaving early as shit on Sunday. What's your go-to road trip snack?
Oh, man. You've known me for many a year. In fact, you and Rory Doinks, I think, coined the phrase snack bandit for my for my habits in college, where I would after the bars, have myself many a snack. You know, the actual food, not a hot looking lady, and you open a bag of nachos or Doritos. You don't really open a bag of nachos. Anywho, and then I'd eat like half of it and I'd leave it on the couch and just go to sleep. So I was a snack bandit. Anywho, long story short, I love Goldfish. I love anything processed cheese, I'll be honest. And it's not great for the digestive system and for any of us. But that's my go-to. I would go like, okay, if I had to pick one, it would be combos. It would be combos, pretzel on the outside, cheese on the inside. What say you?
That probably is related to your ass cancer, the processed
Bingo.
Cheese. I'm a big Bugles guy. Is that a weird thing? I like
it's a little bit weird.
I wouldn't. It's only a road trip thing. Like I don't think I've ever eaten Bugles outside of a car. Like you buy them in a gas station. I would never eat them like just sitting in my on my couch in my house. Maybe same for combos. I don't know that I've ever eaten combos outside of a car.
Same. No, I think I'm the same way. Do you like jerky? You big jerky guy?
Yeah, but I feel like I could get involved in some jerky and then I'll eat the whole package and then I've got some digestive issues, which isn't ideal for a road trip.
Yeah, and we had talked, speaking of such things, kind of, we had talked about our options to get in Green Bay, and I jokingly said to you, hey, there's a bar in Chicago that is offering $300 for ticket and a bus transportation, and you immediately looked like you were going to vomit, and you said, basically, my bladder can't take it. I'm in a pan. Like, you look like you were a sweaty mess just thinking about it.
I'm a very skittish transportation guy as it relates to needing to throw urine at any moment. So buses scare me. Bus trips. Growing up in Central Illinois, there were a lot of bus trips to Cubs games. And that was always an issue because it was like a fucking school bus. So if I'm pounding beers on a school bus, I'm screwed big time. And I'm not so much even going up, but coming back, big time problem. So... yeah, no, that doesn't sound appealing to me at all.
So how many, this will be our second road trip together. We took one to Des Moines, Iowa once actually for a wedding. Right. I don't remember how many bathroom stops you had to make on that trip, but how many should I expect to and from Green Bay this Sunday?
Well, you and I both have some late nights lined up for Saturday night, so that could be... I don't know, man. It could be a couple. I'd say two.
Okay. Two? Not bad.
I'll try to space it out. Are you a pee in the bottle guy in the car?
I've done it. I've definitely done it. In college, we thought we were closer to the Peoria Casino than we were. And in Champaign, we went late night once. And,
paradise.
We all had to desperately go to the bathroom, but there was nary a local bathroom on whatever was that 50 I-57. I don't even know what it was. And we all put our 75. Okay. We all put our Johnsons.
Sorry, 74.
We all put our Johnsons outside of the window and just let urine fly on the highway. That's the only time I've ever done that. I was 21. I apologize. I think. Do I? That did not seem sincere.
No, that didn't seem sincere at all. That had to have been a fucking mess. Jesus
Christ. It was weird. We had a sober driver and a bunch of drunk people in the car. It was a weird experience. And we got there like at, I feel like 3 a.m. and I think it was closed for an hour to clean it. And then I immediately lost $100 playing blackjack in like 30 seconds. Why am I in Peoria? This sucks. See,
I will ask to just pull over on the highway. And just, I'm pretty good sneaky peeing in alleys and anywhere I could. Neighbors' yards. If you live around me, I'm sorry. I've probably peed in your yard for no reason at all. But I know I'm not a pee in the bottle guy. Actually, fairly recently, I was on 88 and I had to pull over. Not far from my house, but wasn't going to make it home. And I peed pretty much right on 88. So you're welcome, fellow drivers, for seeing my privates.
I'm sure Ronald Reagan would be thrilled that he's named after that highway after all of the urine that you threw. Is the pee in the bottle a stage fright issue? Or are you afraid that you're going to overflow the bottle? What's your deal?
I'm just afraid I'm going to get it in the car. Yeah, it's more of a spray issue, more so than anything. So, and I want to be respectful because do you drive and pee? Like, are you the driver? You're the passenger, right? So I'm probably not in my car. So if I'm peeing in a bottle, I'm afraid I'm going to piss all over someone's car. And then that's a whole nother issue. I'm too old to be doing that shit anyway.
Yeah, that's fair. Although I feel like something weird's going to happen on the way back from Green Bay involving your bladder, and can't wait to dox you next week.
That's fine. That's fine. I've heard all the jokes. It's nonstop. Beasel's made fun of me for it. My wife has made fun of me for it. My children will make fun of me for it. So I don't care. I gotta go.
Sounds incredible. I didn't know you'd be such a road trip liability. I'm starting to rethink this road trip big time. Just kidding. I cannot wait to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin this Sunday and see the Bears jump to 8-6 and that much closer to the number 6 seed and a ticket to Miami for the Super Bowl. It's going to be awesome. It is going to be hot. I can't wait. I'm buying in 100%. I'm ready to be heard, but I don't think I'm going to be. Dan, cannot wait to join you on this journey.
Yes, let's do it, Bill. Let's leave early as shit and get our asses tailgating. Can't wait to see you, brother Dave.
That's right, Dave. Thanks for listening. I'm sure you're all over this, wondering what the latest is with Gray Balls. We appreciate you, Dan. I appreciate you. We also appreciate our new listener in Helsinki, Finland. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully that's going well for you after the last episode and that you jump into episode 20 as well. Also, quick credit, the opening song, I want to give credit to a band called Fourth and Inches for the song that I swiped off of YouTube. Anyway, just want to give proper credit where it's due. Thank you so much. Love you, Dan. Episode 20 in the books. Can't wait for 21. Are girls going to be allowed to drink?
Go Bears.
See you next week. Or a surprise episode on Sunday. We'll see. Zerdogs.
The stadium, win. Don't let those Packers get to you. Don't change your mind on your teams. You can like both, but you know Bears are better.